couple updated health numbers for you. Just got this. Starting Monday, of course, everybody age 16 and older can get the COVID-19 vaccine in Illinois and Chicago, both now. Chicago's in step with the rest of the state. So far, more than 4.5 million people have at least gotten partially vaccinated. About 5.5 million adults have yet to get vaccinated. And the rollout continues even without the Johnson & Johnson in play. Let's talk with Dr. Michael Bauer. He's a medical director at Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital. Hey, Dr. Bauer, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Anna. Thanks for having me. Glad we get to talk about something that's really straightforward and non-controversial, like COVID, as opposed to gun control and police response.
So much in the world, I'll tell you. For a Friday, there's a lot going on, Dr. Bauer, and there are plenty of questions about health. And I just wonder, what can you tell us about the Johnson & Johnson? Any new news? I know the committee met, and there's a lot of talk about how long it'll be before that may be back. What do you know?
I think the only new news is that there really isn't any right now. I do know they are going to be meeting again next week. They want to look at some more data. They want to make very thoughtful decisions on this without causing any undue delays. So I expect that sometime by the mid next week, that independent vaccine advisory committee will give us their recommendations. I do want to point out, I think it's a great example of how the vaccine safety monitoring process really works well. And the public should take note of that, that it's scrutinized very carefully, very closely.
Mm-hmm. I hear on that. It's interesting because taking the Johnson & Johnson out of circulation, I understand they're trying to do it out of an abundance of caution. But on Monday, the United Center was going to go all J&J. So many facilities were saying, hey, we got this one and you're done shot here. And we're going to be using this all throughout the city and the state. That can't happen until they reinstituted. So we'll wait for that. I mentioned at the top here that, we've got everyone 16 and older can now get the vaccine in the state of Illinois, in the city, but there isn't enough supply right now. Is there for everybody? If everyone went at once, that wouldn't happen.
No, there isn't. But Johnson & Johnson at the present time was really making up a relatively small percentage of what we were vaccinating both in Illinois, in the city, and in the United States. I think the estimates were upwards of 90 to 95% were still being Pfizer and Moderna. That notwithstanding, it does have an important role, especially for those that want to get only one vaccine, getting it to harder to reach areas, and hopefully it will be back in use in relatively short order, perhaps with some updated recommendations for special populations. But let's not forget, exceedingly, exceedingly rare potential side effects. I also want to mention anybody that's recently had the J&J vaccine, they should not lose sleep. They should not worry. They just need to be aware if they develop any of those symptoms, such as a really bad headache, bad abdominal pain, leg aches, etc., they should seek medical care.
Okay. That's right. And keep an eye on it. But you're right. Extremely rare, worthy of repeating it, because it's absolutely true. And they have found no other cases that I'm aware of. Are you aware of any cases beyond the original six?
No, it's still the original six.
Okay. And another report out today, CDC says that out of the 76 million plus Americans who are fully vaccinated, we have just 0.01% of them have contracted COVID again. It certainly seems as if the vaccines are doing what they're supposed to do.
They absolutely are. And I think if you do the actual math, perhaps you round it up even a little bit more. We're looking at roughly 1/100th. Of a percent of people that are fully vaccinated that ultimately were diagnosed with COVID. And I do want to point out that a third of those were completely asymptomatic. The vast majority of those that weren't asymptomatic were mild disease, and only an extremely small portion ended up getting moderate to severe disease needing hospitalization. So it's up to us now to look for patterns, look for clues, Is it age-related, gender-related, location? Did they have other comorbidities? How far after they completed the vaccine? So we're going to analyze that data and see if we can come up with any potential clues that may give us further guidelines.
All right. And then boosters, a lot of questions about those, Doc, because we've been told now at least one of the shots, you may need to get a booster, what, 6 months later or thereabouts? Tell us what we should know about the booster shots.
Well, it's probably going to be more than 6 months. What we do know so far, remember, this is all in real time, that after 6 months, both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines are showing very high rates of efficacy, upwards of 90% and more. It's not a surprise in any way, shape, or form that they're now coming out and saying, in all likelihood, we're going to need a booster, because this virus isn't going away so quickly. What we don't know yet is a year out, 2 years out, what's going to be those levels of protection. And so that's going to get followed very carefully. But it really comes as no surprise and should not cause any sense of fear, alarm, worry, panic that, oh, my God, they're not so effective because we're going to be getting boosters. It's just doing exactly what it says. It's boosting and maintaining your level of immunity.
Yeah. What about the variants that are coming up? A lot of concern because in Michigan, I know that's a big part of their surge, one of the variants, and potentially here too. I don't know. I mean, what are we seeing with the variants and how are the shots doing? Will we need another booster to tackle those?
So as predicted several months ago and even a little bit longer, that B.1.17 or the so-called UK variant really has become the dominant strain now in the United States. And we do know it is more contagious, it's spread more easily, and that's why it's become the dominant strain. Fortunately, the vaccines work extremely well against that strain. The other two that get watched as well are that South American one, the so-called B.1.351, and the Brazil or P1 strains. Those make up really a very small percentage of infections in the United States. Remember, we're seeing 60,000 plus new infections a day here, and roughly 400 are those other strains. Now, the concern is we know the vaccines don't seem to be quite as effective against those, but they still provide good protection. Going forward, I suspect that when we get these boosters, similar to flu shots where they change every year for influenza, I think there will be some tweaks and modifications in them, which can be done quite easily to help cover those new variants. Part of what the FDA will do when a variation in the vaccine comes out, it does not have to go through that same testing, that same kind of rigorous testing as when the vaccine is first approved. Similar to flu vaccines, it's a much more fluid and faster process to give those little tweaks.
Mm-hmm. I was reading an interesting article about the Cubs players getting tested for COVID, and some of them saying, well, we're not sure which sniffles are allergies and which ones are actually COVID-like symptoms and that kind of thing. And so, you know, there's still some confusion about that. There's also confusion about reactions to the vaccines. Anything you can tell us there, Doc, either what you're seeing in practice or what just things you want to clear up?
Yeah, so unfortunately, spring allergies have started in full bloom. If somebody has a history where they know, oh, this time of year, trees are blooming, I typically get allergy symptoms without any of the other cardinal features of COVID, it is likely going to be your allergy symptoms, especially if you're fully vaccinated. If any of the unusual symptoms come in with the sore throat, headache, fever, and you're not vaccinated, then you're probably going to want to go get tested for that. You know, we really got fortunate over the winter. One of the big fears I think everybody knew was, boy, what if we have flu and COVID together? because the symptoms overlap so much. And in one sense, we did dodge a bullet with having literally no influenza this past year.
How about that? No influenza. Wow.
No, nobody, remember, we were predicting, oh my God, this double whammy that, and really getting hammered. And when I say no influenza, I mean they're like zero cases. We just did not see influenza. Quite amazing, and nobody predicted. What it does highlight, though, look at what happens when people wear masks, when they distance, and also we know children are a large vector of flu spread, especially in school, because we can predict when you see winter breaks and spring breaks, there's always these drop-offs in flu because they're not in school and not spreading it. So the fact that a large percentage of children were not in school and those that were still masked shows what you can do to prevent flu going forward.
Yeah, interesting. The no influenza. You're right. I don't know anyone who's had the flu. And I was thinking about that the other day because a couple weeks ago, a family member called us and said, hey, yeah, got a little sniffles. I'm just not feeling quite right. I think I have the flu. We're like, nobody has the flu anymore. Go get tested. He got tested. He had COVID. Thankfully, he's okay.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Vaccinated or unvaccinated?
He was unvaccinated. His wife had just gotten the vaccine. His mom had. They were living together, but he hadn't gotten it yet. Unvaccinated.
That so still shows the value of masking. You know, one of the questions that get asked very frequently is, if I'm vaccinated and we know you are protected, that you are very, very well protected, why do I still have to wear a mask when I'm out in public? Well, for several reasons. Number one, we still have a mask mandate right now, and I wish all of the states had that. But what we're really doing is protecting those that are not vaccinated. If you're out going for a walk and you're on the sidewalk and you're not in a crowd whatsoever, I think you can very comfortably go without a mask. But as soon as you are in any type of crowd, public setting around other people, for the time being, even fully vaccinated people need to mask up, because what we're doing is preventing them getting closer to that herd immunity where we can finally choke the spread of this virus. Unfortunately, right now, you look at Michigan and a lot of other states, it's starting to get the upper hand again.
Geez, how about it? Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Michael Bauer. Appreciate your time this Friday.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend, Anna.